I'm falling right back into the same old religious ruts and routines. The biggest hindrance to revival is not the spirit of the age, where sin doth abound. His grace does much more abound. God says, sinfulness about you is no barrier to my move in your life. Can you say amen? He had a mighty revival came to Nineveh. Amen. One of the most wicked nations in the world. A mighty, mighty revival came to Manasseh, the meanest man in the Bible, according to many Bible scholars. And Billy Graham calls him the meanest man, the most wicked man in the Bible is Manasseh. You'll not find anybody more evil, diabolical. Hitler is no more evil or diabolical than this man. And yet God revived him. God restored him. God heard his cry. Amen. Someday we're going to tell you about Manasseh. We're going to tell you just how bad he was and just what God did under the old covenant for him. So the wickedness of man is no barrier to revival. If you want to repent and you want to be revived, God will revive you. Amen. Where sin doth abound, his grace does much more abound. God said, I can counteract that. Amen. So it's not the world that's the barrier. It's not demons or devils. Behold, I give you power over all the power of the enemy. So it's not the devil, and it's not the world, and it's not the wickedness in the land. But what is it? What becomes the great barrier? Just let God's people get cold. Just let God's people get apathetic. Just let God's people lose their passion and their first love. Let them go through all the religious workings and routines and rituals without that personal relationship with Him. And that is what hinders revival. That's why the scripture said, if you want your land healed, let it begin with you. If my people, which are called by my name, would humble themselves and pray again, seek my face and listen to this and turn from their wicked way, I will hear from heaven. And in spite of the conditions, this is not conditional upon the wickedness in the land. This is conditional upon the revival of God's people. You didn't hear me today. Amen. And I will heal your land. Hallelujah. You know how that healing begins? It begins through you and me. When people see that our life is different, God can show them His kingdom. Amen? But religious ritual is a dead thing. So this church is so unpalatable to so many people because it's time to go home and we're not even through worship. Because God asked us to worship Him a little more this morning. Hallelujah. I'm serious. In your dead religious routine, it's time to leave. But there are no miracles. And there are no great healings. And there are no grand revivals under those conditions. Mark it well. We talk about it. We sing about it. But we don't see it because we're too cut and dried for God to really move. Amen? But God wanted a church that isn't cut and dry. So we're through apologizing for the time we invest worshiping Him and in His Word. Hallelujah. Can you say amen? We're not a church for everyone. Brother Venable, they say you preach too loud. This is not the church for you. Brother Venable, they say your services are too long. Well, I'm sorry. This is not clearly the church for you. There's one down the block that'll get it on and get it over with. That's the church for you. This one is different. Yes, hallelujah. This one is different. Amen. This one is different, and we're through apologizing. Hallelujah. You don't have the time to invest. This isn't the church for you. We're not trying to please everyone. We're trying to please the Lord. Hallelujah. And I'm going to tell you something. I believe that God is pleased with this worship service. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And when a man's ways please the Lord, he's even able to make his enemies be at peace with him. Can you say amen? Victory's going to come to people who are not men pleasers, but people who please the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 have never seen your God move like you're going to see Him move.
Thank you, Lord.
And you've never seen your enemy run like you're going to see him run, saith the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory to the Lamb. Father, we praise
you. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen and amen. Glory to the Lamb. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to the Lamb. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And ye shall no more seek the living among the dead, saith the Lord. And ye shall no more seek the living among the dead, saith the Lord. And I say unto you again, and you shall no more seek the living among the dead, saith the Lord. I'm alive, saith God. I'm alive, saith God. Live as if I'm alive. Pray as if I'm alive.
Yeah.
Stand upon my word, because I am alive forevermore,
hallelujah,
saith the Lord. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Heavenly Father.
Amen.
Thank you, Heavenly Father.
Amen.
Thank you, Heavenly Father. Glory
amen
to God.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Amen.
Glory
amen
to God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Even so,
hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I don't want a good church. I don't want a big church. I don't want a quote-unquote prosperous, successful church in terms of the building fund and the people that attend it. I want a church, big, small, or anywhere in between, where people really, really love God. And they want to please Him, and they want to serve Him, and they come to rejoice in Him, and they come to worship Him. Amen. People who don't want the rut anymore, who are tired of the dead routine. Can you say amen? Dead routine will make you a passionless Christian. You'll say all the right things, but your heart won't be in it, and no one will listen, because there's a conviction that's in your heart when your heart is filled with passion for Jesus Christ. And though your words be as accurate, biblically accurate, and you can be an astute student of Scripture, and you can give everyone all the right answers, but if it isn't done with passion of a heart and love, no one believes it. Can you say amen? And that's why the world doesn't listen. Hallelujah. But once that passion is back in your heart, you can just say the name of Jesus, and there's something that resonates when you say it. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. It's different when dead religion gives way to a real move of the Spirit. Shame on preachers for being satisfied with dead churches, and shame on Christians for being satisfied with dead preachers. Shame on us. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Somebody ought to be stirred. I do not understand it. To this day, I do not understand it. We get a lot of compliments on our tapes and our ministry, but no one will leave a dead church to support it. They're too committed to their deadness. They're too committed to their routine. They don't want the change. Amen. Hallelujah. You sit and go through the motions of a passionless communion service. I've been in communions that was a disgrace. Not because we didn't take the cup and eat the bread, but because it was so routine. No one was moved to tears. No one was moved to worship. No one was moved at all. We just did it, and so we could say that we did it. And that's what happened to Israel. Amen. When God began to draw back from them, and the glory began to be pulled back, amen, from that nation. God wants to change that. He wants to draw nigh to His people. And He said, you've never seen me move like you're going to see me move if you keep on passionately pursuing me. Amen. A.W. Tozer wrote a book about passion for God, and it was called In the Pursuit of God. And he said, if you follow on to know the Lord in the Old Testament, can you say amen? Paul said, I want more than a blessing. I want to know Him. I want to know Him. I want to know Him. Hallelujah. Praise God. And if you want to know Him, you'll draw nigh to Him. And if you draw nigh to Him, He said, I'll draw nigh to you. And when He draws nigh to you, there's revival, and there's restoration in your life. Can you say amen? I don't want religious entertainment. I want real worship. Hallelujah. I just don't want to pat my foot and clap my hands. I want to raise my hands, and I want something to set my feet a-dancing in praise to God. There's a difference in being entertained and involved in the worship of the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. And if I didn't say anything else, this is good preaching this morning. Hallelujah. I want people to quit talking the talk and start walking the walk. I'm not asking for someone to leave a church and come here. I'm just saying if anyone anywhere is in a dead church, you need to stop and think it over a little bit. Can you say, man, you don't go to church because your friends go there. You go to get your soul fed. Can you say, man, you don't go to church because it's convenient. You go to church because, amen, something constrains you and calls you and deep calls to amen. Deep. I'm spoiled rotten by the Spirit of God. I'll never be the same again. I don't want to just dissect dead dogma. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Are you saying we're there? No. But we've got enough of the understanding of what the real and genuine is to know that we're not there. But we're on our way somewhere. We are not satisfied. We're divinely disturbed people this morning. We're divinely dissatisfied. Everybody in here, and I don't say this in a judgmental or critical way, but you got friends that are in a dead church, and they have a dead testimony and a dead religious experience, and they'll be in the mall right after church as if it never happened. Nothing's going to move them or change them. They go on in this dead routine. Can you say amen? The only highlight is a singing group or a guest speaker occasionally. Can you say amen? Real revival is not based on a singing group or a guest speaker. It's based on the abiding presence of Jesus Christ in the midst of His people and their recognition and response to that presence every time we come together. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Wow. Well, let's pray this morning before we preach the preaching time away. Hallelujah. We got a good message to bring you today. God wanted to do something different. That's why He wouldn't let us be normal. Hallelujah. That's why He wouldn't let us change when we actually tried, because we felt like if we can be more accommodating, you know what we found out? Amen. All we did when we tried to please people was lose that mighty, fresh, anointed presence of God. So we said, Lord, we will bear their criticisms. We will gladly acknowledge, you know something, you're right. It is too loud. It's probably going to bother you. You know something, you're absolutely right. It is terribly long. I mean, you know, if you come here and you don't love Jesus, that seat is going to get so hard, even though it's padded. Did you say amen? I mean, it'll seem like it'll never end. Dear God, they're going to sing another praise song. It's time to go to the house, and the man hasn't even preached. I mean, an hour into the sermon, he takes his coat off, and you know there's another hour coming, and they say, Dear God in heaven, how did we get stuck in this church on Sunday? Well, we didn't come here to stay all day in church. Well, you know, what is the Lord's day for if it isn't stay all day in church? What has the Lord's day become? It's become a little tip for God and a lot of time for us. Amen. As I said, multiple services are not just to accommodate crowds that are bursting the walls out and bursting with enthusiasm. They're to accommodate the man who don't want to spend no more than one more hour so he can tee off at 10 o'clock at the golf course and give God his due. So we'll have an 8 o'clock service for the yuppie that wants to tee off. Amen. We'll have the communion, the word, the worship, the whole schmeal. Get it over with and get that parking lot cleared so the others can come in. Why? Because we're not really into revival. We're into convenience to accommodate people. And I'll tell you, there's a time coming when we're going to have to start accommodating God again. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. This isn't for people. This is for Him. Worship is for God. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. A time is coming in America when we need to call a solemn assembly. When we need to reprioritize our life. If we want Joel's revival, we're going to have what he did to get that revival. And he said, call a solemn assembly. Amen. Quit worrying about, amen, playing all day, and let's start praying all day again. Can you say amen? Let's get into intercession. Let's say hold on the horns of the altar once again for America and for our lost loved ones that are hell bound. And let's get a compassionate heart again. Let the bridegroom leave his chamber. He didn't leave that chamber for 7 days. He was not disturbed, but he said there's a priority here that overrides a bride and his bridegroom, a bridegroom and his bride. Let the bridegroom leave his chamber. Let the priests and ministers weep between the porch and the altar. Can you say amen? Put everything aside and put God in the forefront and seek Him with all of your heart. And then he said, I will heal your land. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. 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 We don't have a fresh anointed move of the Spirit, we ain't got nothing to offer. We're not on a competitive field. We're not here to compete anyway, but we can't be competitive. We don't have all the stuff. We don't have the amenities. We don't have all the other stuff that draws people out to God's house on Sunday morning. If you come here, you got to love Jesus. Can you say, amen, if you don't love Jesus, you won't come here long. Amen. Not because we'll run you off. You'll just leave. And I'm not complaining. I'm telling you, there's too much dead religion. And I've tasted something better in my life. Amen. I've tasted something so much better than that. I don't want to go. You know, a lot of dead people don't even want to go to a dead church, though. Some of them will come to a live church and refuse to be revived. Can you say, man? But I'm going to tell you something. With all the love that I can say it with, that day is coming to a close. You can't use God that way. Amen. The Spirit of the Lord's on the move. And when that cloud moves, you got to break camp, move with it if you want to stay under it. Can you say, amen? You can't sit there and hope the cloud is going to just rest over you. When the cloud moved, they broke camp and Israel moved. Can you say, amen? When the pillar of fire moved, they broke camp and they moved. Hallelujah. And I'm going to follow the glory all the way to heaven. How about you? Glory be to God. Let's pray today. We need a revival. We all know that. We need personal revivals in our lives. We all know that. Hallelujah. God wants to move in America again. More than anything else in this nation, we need a spiritual awakening. We're the churchiest nation in the world when it comes to Christian activity. We are the churchiest, preachiest, praisiest nation in the world under the umbrella of Christianity. We have it all in America. And we are one of the most wicked nations and the most murderous nations. And the depravity in America is sinking so low that Vance Havner said, I used to say that America's going to the dogs, but I have long since quit out of respect for the dogs. Leonard Ravenhill, great revivalist of old, said, America has been cursed with blessings. The reason blessings become a curse is when we don't acknowledge God and stay humble before Him when they come. Deuteronomy says, as we pray this morning, that I'm giving you a land that's going to flow with milk and honey. And when thou art eaten and art full, beware lest you forget the Lord your God by not keeping His commandments, because He gave you this land. You acknowledge Him and you praise Him and you keep Him in the right place in your society, because there's a danger in prosperity of losing that perspective. And America has lost it. And I wish I could say it was just out there in the streets, the pagan world, but it's not. It's in the church house too. Amen. So Leonard Ravenhill said, we've been blessed. We've been cursed with blessings, and if we don't repent, we're going to be blessed with curses. And we need a revival in America. It's imperative. It's not some kind of super religious, sainted thing for certain religious people. This is imperative that we have a revival in America. There is no rock but me. There is no refuge but me. There is nowhere to run in the day of trouble but to me, saith God. And yes, I will deliver those that run to me, saith the Lord. And I will keep and shelter those that run unto me. Yea, saith God, this is a day when man has trusted in his own ingenuity. He's trusted in his own intelligence. He's trusted in his own might and his own wisdom. But I say unto you, this is no time to trust in man. This is a time to trust in your God and stay upon your God. For I will not forsake you, and I will welcome you into my presence. Take shelter in me and fear no storm, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. And amen. I want us to pray this morning for spiritual awakening in our personal lives. Stay away from religious routines. Amen. Stay away from ritual that has no meaning. Stay away from faking it on Sunday morning without passion in your heart. I'm not telling you to come in here with a long face. I'm just saying don't put on that face and go home and live another reality. Can you say amen? If Jesus isn't in your heart on Monday and Tuesday, you're not going to find him on Wednesday at some midweek service to be real. It'll just be a passing thing. Can you say amen? Religious awakening is not falling out in the spirit. Because people get up and still live lives that are lackluster and bear no witness to real revival many times. Real revival can't be typified by holy laughter. I've seen people get holy laughter and then fall into deep depression. It's almost like a sugar high. It'll hold you for a little while, but when it drops you hard. Amen. Trying to maintain that level of enthusiastic, blissful joy is a very difficult thing in a world like ours, in a body and a flesh fight that we're in. It takes something deeper than just a visitation of God. That's why God is calling us to something deeper than just a visitation. Can you say amen? Israel saw his wonders, and it didn't give them the strength or courage or faith to go over into the promised land. Not one of those miracles they saw gave them the strength and faith and courage to take the promised land. Do you realize that? They saw his wonders, and that's where charismania gets way off base. We're into the signs, the signs, the signs. We need to be into the God, the God, the God. Can you say amen? We don't have to give up any signs, but we don't put the priority on the signs, but the God that we walk with and the God that we trust in. Amen. Moses had no qualms about taking the land. Amen. It said Israel knew his wonders, but Moses knew his ways. Hallelujah. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. They only knew him in the pillar of fire. They only knew him, hallelujah, in the cloud. Amen. But Moses knew him in a mouth-to-mouth relationship of communion. Hallelujah. And he said, this God is trustworthy. He's not just mighty and powerful. He's a God of love, and you can trust him. Hallelujah. Let's pray today. Heavenly Father, Spirit of God is so moving here. I brought you to this place because I want to move, saith the Lord. I brought you out of everything that you held as safety and security and the places that were convenient and comfortable for you. I am the Lord that stirred up your nest, saith God, that the young eagles might learn to fly, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Somebody give him praise today. Glory to the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. There's more to that. Hallelujah. You understand all these convenient comfort zones help you stay in the rut? All of these little things, we're so comfortable. Why don't God just let it? We just like it just like it is. And God said, just like it is, it's not what I've called you to. Hallelujah. I can't make any changes until I can get you away from just like it is. Hallelujah. And that's why some of the things have happened, and that's why God hadn't just stepped in and put it back just like it was, because like it was isn't where he wants you to live, and like it was isn't where he wants me to stay. Hallelujah. So he stirs things up. You know what the mother eagle does? You all know the story. She takes all the stuff to soften the nest out and throws it out at a particular stage and brings in all the thorns and the prickly things that the eagle cannot be comfortable sitting in that nest anymore. Amen. It has to climb up and stand on the side. Amen. Amen. And it's not the eagle's choice either. The young eagle would love to just sit in that downy place, in that warm place. But you know what the mother eagle does? Amen. And if he don't just jump out and try those wings, the mother eagle does what seemed like a cruel thing. She grabs him and throws him out. And he goes screaming to his certain death in his mind. And if he doesn't try those wings, that eagle will swoop down, amen, in a power dive, come up under that eaglet, pick him way up in the air, and say, oh, I'm sorry I scared you, darling. Going back to the... No, and drop him again. Amen? And he keeps doing that until after a while the young eagle says, woo, woo, I can fly. I believe I can fly. Amen. I believe I could touch the sky. Amen. And suddenly, something has changed. Amen. The eagle is now coming into what he was born to be. Amen. He wasn't born to sit in the downy comfort of a nest, but to soar the mighty heights. Hallelujah. And to be the king of the air. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God, the King of the heavens. Don't be afraid of where I'm leading you. Know that thou art born upon eagle's wings, saith the Lord. Don't be afraid of falling. I'm able to keep you from falling because you are born on eagle's wings. And when you get to the destination that I have designed for you, saith God, you will be brought there by eagle's wings. Be not afraid, for I will take you there, and I will teach you to fly on the way, saith God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'll take you there and teach you to fly on the way. Hallelujah. Isn't God good today? We're just going to have a Holy Spirit service. Don't be afraid of the changes. You prayed for revival. You prayed for a move of the Spirit. Don't be afraid of the changes and adjustments that must be made, saith God. For I'm in it all. Fear not, my children. Fear not, my little flock. For I am in it all, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes. That's for someone in particular here today. It's kind of on a roller coaster and you don't know where it's going. Hallelujah. Let's join hands one more time. We're going to pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for this present move of the Holy Spirit. I thank you for your constant confirmation that you are with us and you're taking us where you want us to be. I thank you, Lord, when we are anxious and we don't fully understand everything, that you are in ultimate control. And I thank you, Lord, for a church that's not trying to compete or trying to compare, but a church that's being uniquely yours in what you're doing in this church, in this people. Father, we thank you for a people here that love you. And we pray in the name of Jesus that as we grow in grace and that we grow in love and passion toward the Lord, and that these services lose every element of the routine and the ordinary, that, Father, we will have a powerful influence upon other people that need reviving, and more importantly, a powerful influence upon an unsaved and gainsaying world. In the name of Jesus, we thank you for the changes and the adjustments that you're making in our lives, that we might know you like we're coming to know you. We want to see you move like we've never seen you move, and we want to see the enemy run like we've never seen him run. In the name of Jesus, we claim that great promise. And everyone said amen, and amen, and amen. I feel like I've done been to church. So let's receive the offering this morning in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Let me set this up before we read it this morning in just a few moments of teaching. This investment of your time in this message can change your life. Every sermon could be prefaced with that. So don't think that I'm going to get the big, super spectacular sermon today. Every sermon could be prefaced with the thing that I'm saying right now. Amen. This message has within it the potential and the power to radically change your life. The word received in good ground brings forth fruit 30, 60, and 100 fold. Amen. How many would like, since we've talked about routines and ruts, you're on the spot for this. How many would like some radical changes in your life? Amen. I mean, wouldn't it be a radical change? See God move like you've never seen him move. And see the enemy flee like you've never seen him flee. Amen? That's radical stuff. That's the kind of stuff God wants to accomplish in the lives of his people. Hallelujah. So this particular scripture in Joshua was written at a crucial time in the life of Israel. A generation had died in the wilderness that God had brought up out of Egypt. They had chosen to wander in the wilderness than to possess the promised land. And now there is a new generation on the threshold of the promised land. God said every man that was fit to go to battle, who wouldn't go to battle, was of age to go to battle, and able to go to battle, who wouldn't cross over and take the land, he said, I swore in my wrath that they would not take the land. So they wandered in the wilderness. By the way, God's grace was on them while they wandered. God did not disown them. He just couldn't bless them like he wanted to. Amen. The Bible said for 40 years they wandered in the wilderness and their shoes didn't wear out. Did you hear what I'm telling you? And their garments grew with them. No one outgrew a garment. No child needed clothing down at, Kids Are Us. Can you say, amen? There wasn't a Kids Are Us out in the wilderness. Amen. Nor a Sears or J.C. Penney. So their clothing grew with them and their shoes didn't wear out. I think it's neat, these little things that God does to say, you're not really following me, but I'm still committed to you. Can you say, amen? Isn't that a good covenant-keeping God? You're still my people, and I'm not going to treat you like you're orphans or something. I'm going to still send manna. You realize they still sent the manna for 40 years? It fell for 40 years on those people. And their shoes didn't wear out. And all the women say, glory to God. I don't know if you'd have been glad with that or not, because wearing out shoes is an excuse to get. All right, and all the ladies said, amen and amen. Hallelujah. Oh, my strap is broke. Oh, I'll have to run down to Walmart. Boy, do I hate to go and look. No, that's a good thing for most people. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise God. Their shoes didn't even wear out. I think that's incredible that God supernaturally blessed the shoes on their feet to say, you're going to walk around out here, amen, in rebellion and unbelief, but I'm going to be a good God to you. I'm a good daddy, and I'm not going to have my children going barefoot. Can you say, man, how many know a good daddy don't let his kids go barefoot? So God blessed the shoes on their feet to say, look, I'm still taking care of these people. He don't let them go hungry either. Can you say, man? They couldn't eat the milk and honey of Canaan, but God still sent manna out of heaven because he said, I ain't going to have barefoot kids, amen, begging bread. Isn't that right? Because that's going to reflect on who? That's going to reflect on their father. And all the nations knew, amen, that he brought them out of Egypt, that the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is the one that through Moses led them out of Egypt. Hallelujah. Amen. And now they were in a reproach situation because they were out of Egypt, but they were living in the wilderness with these little tokens of God's blessing, but nothing that demonstrated what he really wanted to do in their life. Listen, we've been really challenged by the Lord here to pray differently than I'm used to praying. I'm used to praying a prayer to meet the exact need, the exact God to move in the exact way. We needed $3,000, oh Lord, we need $3,000. You know, be exact. I mean, you know, ask, we need $3,000. We need a building. Well, let's see if we can find a shed that we can convert to a building. Hello? I mean, you know, that'll work for us because there's not many of us. And we got to work within where our faith is. Well, the Lord's been dealing with us. And I don't want crystal chandeliers, but here's what I'm saying. The Lord is dealing. I don't want crystal chandeliers in no church where I preach. That would be distracting. People be looking up and saying, boy, did you see that? All them prisms up there. Look how the light beams off of that. I don't want them looking up, amen, at the prisms in the chandelier, crystal chandelier. I want them, amen, looking at the many facets of God's love and grace in the Word of God. I want them to forget where they are, amen, in the building. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And besides, God, who wants to dwell in the temple anyhow. But here's the thing that God's been schooling us in. He says, when you pray, I want to answer the prayer in a way that blesses you and brings me glory. God wants to be glorified in the answer. He wants to answer in big enough way that it is attributed to the supernatural. You didn't hear me. He wants to do more than you ask. That's why the Bible said, amen, that he's able to do, according to the power that worketh in us, more than we think or more than we ask. Hallelujah. And he's been telling us to ask largely of him. Praise God. Not to limit him because of our littleness in our vision and our littleness in our faith. Amen. I want to see some answers that bring such glory to God that everyone that sees the answer says, God did that in their life. That must be God that did that. Can you say, man? So that's what God wanted to do. He said, it's not enough to provide for you while you wander the wilderness. Until I get you in the promised land and bless you with the promises that I gave you when I can get you there, The whole world is not going to know, amen, the strength of my covenant, the goodness and the greatness of your God. I'm not really going to be glorified until you're eating milk and honey in the promised land. So I'll bless the shoes on your feet because daddy's chilling, all God's chilling God's shoes. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Amen. And I'm going to bless, amen, I'm going to bless you with bread from heaven because, amen, the righteous never go hungry. You've got a good heavenly Father. But I'm not going to be glorified until you're not just surviving in the wilderness, but you are dancing and shouting victory in the land of Canaan. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. He brought them out that he might bring them in. Hallelujah. Now listen to this. They're getting ready now. There's a new generation. And they're getting ready to move across Jordan. And the night before, God tells them, you consecrate the people before me because a new day is coming. You're not going to wander in the wilderness no more. Get the people ready. Amen. Tonight, you will eat differently. Tonight, you will not have social relationships, in particular, even sexual relationships. Tonight is a holy sanctified night unto the Lord because tomorrow is going to begin a new day in Israel after 40 years. You were 340 years in bondage in Egypt, and I brought you out with a mighty hand. Amen. 340 years of bondage, and God said, that's enough, you're coming out. Amen. 40 years of wandering in the wilderness because of unbelief, but God said, it's a new day, now I'm going to bring you in. Hallelujah. Amen. So here's a new generation. He says, tonight, consecrate the people before me, for tomorrow I will do wonders among you. I just heard God say something in the early part of this service through the gift of the Spirit. Hallelujah. He said, amen, you're going to see me move like you've never seen me move and see the enemy flee like you've never seen him flee. This is exactly where this sermon is headed. This is exactly the circumstance that they were standing in. They said there are enemies, amen, to our possessing this land. But we are going to see God move, amen, because this is a new day. This is a new generation. We're going to see those wonders that we've heard about, that we've sung about, that has come down our legacy of faith that's been given us. We're going to not just hear about what God used to do. We're going to see God perform in the present, in the now. Can you say amen? We're a new generation. And we're going to cross over Jordan. Hallelujah. Listen, some of you are going to get that healing that has been evading you. And some of you are going to see those victories that have been, those enemies that have been defying you. You're going to see those enemies begin to break down and flee before you. These things are coming because we're going to cross over this threshold. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And it's coming. So there they stood on the threshold of the promised land. He said, tonight is a different night. Consecrate the people, for tomorrow I will do wonders among them. And when the day broke, they said, bring the ark up. Now listen, the ark had always been with them. But now something is changing that had to change to give them victory. Amen. The ark was in the midst of them throughout this journey. But now the ark was to be brought to the forefront. They possessed it all along, but it was repositioned. Can you say amen on this new day? It was brought out. It said, everybody stand still and put the ark in the front, the ark of the covenant, and let the priest carry it and to the midst of Jordan. And the priest took the ark and began to walk with it toward the Jordan River. And when the soles of the feet, because everything in the kingdom, amen, is taken when we claim it by faith, when we walk out on it. Nothing happened until by obedience with the ark in the forefront, amen, they stood in the midst of the river when their feet, when it got ankle deep, the river stood up, amen, and there was a dry passageway for Israel to pass through. And they stood holding the ark while all of Israel passed over into the promised land. And when they passed over into the promised land, they camped. And the camp they camped in, their first night in Canaan, was a place called Gilgal. Say it with me, Gilgal. Oh, hallelujah. Boy, if you read the Bible, you run this out. It became a military headquarters. It became a place to return, to regather your bearings if you got off course. It's kind of like going back to Bethel when you go back to Gilgal. I'm going to begin reading because They were passed over Jordan at Joshua chapter 4. And let's take up the narrative. It came to pass when all the... Oh, by the way, preparing to possess the promised land. Gilgal. Preparing to possess the promised land. You know what we're in right now? We're in preparation. There's one of the mightiest armies, if not the mightiest army in the world, is preparing to take over Iraq and dethrone that man if they get a green light. The military is not so much in the politics of it. Those generals and those soldiers are waiting for orders from headquarters. And should they get them, they don't care how many people are demonstrated in the streets. They are fully prepared. There's a mighty army. I'm not saying the right or wrong of it. I'm saying that army is being prepped to take that land. Can you say amen? And if they decide to take it, they will take it. Can you say amen? It's the mightiest army in the world. Unless God stopped it, amen, they will take that land. Amen. And let me tell you something. Amen. If that land and that wicked king is a threat to Israel and we become a buffer between him and Israel, God's blessing will be on us for that purpose, not for our righteousness, but because of a covenant he has with Israel. Can you say amen? Now listen to me carefully. They are preparing to possess that land. And we are in preparation. If you listen to our services, God is saying, ask largely. Amen. God is telling us to pray, amen, beyond what is just convenient for us, but what will bring glory and honor to Him. God is trying to bring us out of the wilderness of doubt and the wilderness of defeat and the wilderness of depression and the wilderness of confusion. Can you say, amen? He would like you to cross over, amen, because God is not going to get glory from your life while you're wandering in the wilderness. Though He's with you and He loves you and He's a good daddy and you got shoes, can you say, amen? But He wants you to cross over into a land where all the blessings of the Lord are yours as you possess them through faith. Can you say amen? This is not a time to sit and whine. Amen. This is not a time to draw back and say it's comfortable here in the wilderness. I'm going to stay camped here. No, God will not get glory. People will not see the covenant God of Israel in your life or mine until we take that step across that Jordan and we begin to possess the land. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Oh, come on, give Him praise tonight. How many love a good Christian testimony? One that says that God came through. Well, listen, folks, that's the kind that gets the attention of the gainsaying world. A testimony that says God came through for me. Hallelujah. Listen to this, because God's going to come through. And it came to pass when all the people were clean, Joshua 4:1, were clean passed over Jordan, that the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, take you 12 men, out of the people, out of every man a tribe, and command ye them, saying, take you hence out of the midst of Jordan, out of the place of the priest, where the priest's feet stood firm, 12 stones, and you shall carry them over with you, and leave them in the lodging place where you lodge this night. And Joshua called the 12 men who had prepared the children of Israel, out of every tribe a man. And Joshua said unto them, pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of Jordan, and take up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel. This may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in the time to come, saying, what mean ye by these stones? Then ye shall answer them, that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord when it passed over Jordan. The waters of Jordan were cut off. And these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. Amen. This is not a one-time thing for that generation, but it'll be a memorial for the children of Israel. How long, church? Forever. God said, I don't want you to ever forget my grace and love and delivering power. And I want the legacy of that to be passed down in its pure form to your children. And every time they see a ritual like communion, and they wonder at why the cross is on your automobile somewhere or in your home, amen, and they say, what does this mean, amen, then you're able to rehearse to them the goodness of God and the greatness of God. Can you say amen? And the people came up out of Jordan, verse 19, drop to verse 19. It says, and the people came up out of Jordan on the 10th day of the first month and encamped in Gilgal, which is in the east border of Jericho. Now listen, where were they going from Gilgal? Their first obstacle in the promised land was the greatest, most impregnable city. How many know there was a city within this area called Jericho? Amen. You know where Gilgal was? Approximately 2 miles from that walled city of Jericho. They were going to march directly from where they camped to take that city. And it was like a domino effect because that city had never been conquered. The people were so self-assured and secure behind the walls of that city. Amen. They cried out when God's people walked around it. Amen to them. You could hear them hurling insults at them as they walked around. No one had ever taken that city, and they were not a bit, amen, afraid that anyone would take it. They were afraid of these people, but they were not afraid within the walls of that fortified city. And when that city fell, amen, it was like a domino. If you take that great walled city of Jericho, the one that no army's ever conquered, amen, then nothing else you face is ever going to intimidate you. If God gives you victory on this level, on this grand scale, can you say amen? Nothing else is ever going to scare you again. Or you're not hearing me. But in order to take that city, they had to be prepared. There had to be some changes and adjustments made. They couldn't rush over in faith because they saw a miracle and take that city. So Gilgal is where they got ready to possess the land. Everybody say, preparing to possess the promised land. Hallelujah. Verse 23 says, "For the Lord your God dried up the waters of Jordan from before you until you were passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up before us until we were gone over, that all the people of the earth might know." Here comes the witness to the world. Amen. "That all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that ye might fear the Lord your God forever." Can you say amen? We get victory. God gets glory. And we establish a testimony in all the earth. That's why he wants to do more for you than put shoes on your feet and feed you with manna while you wander in the wilderness of doubt and discouragement and despair. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Let's say that again. Amen. Hallelujah. We get the blessing. God gets the glory. And the world gets a testimony. Hallelujah. No wonder, amen, God is so determined, amen, to move his people over that threshold. The first step in preparing to possess the land. How many know the land has to be possessed? Up and take the land. Are you listening to me? Satan wants to keep you down. He wants to point out every flaky, fleshly weakness you've got to keep you disqualified from rising up in bold faith. Now, I'm not going to try to look over in my life things that need correcting, and you should look over them in your life. But that is an issue that we can handle. We can go before God, and we can ask his help. And while he's helping us, we may fall down a few times and have to get back up with his help. Amen. But that is not what the covenant's all about. The covenant's about a promise he made that if you stand, amen, on my word, and you stand on this covenant, I'm going to keep this covenant with you. Amen. When the blood was put on the doorpost, amen, God didn't look inside to see, listen, 3 million people, some of those people had a few problems, don't you think? Amen. It wasn't about their problems, it was about his promise to get them out. Amen. He would address those problems in due time, but this was a night to move out of bondage. And that call out of bondage, amen, the death angel didn't scrutinize who was behind that door. Amen. He didn't put them under a microscope. There was one thing he was looking for. I know this runs against the grain of the self-righteous religionists who want to get to heaven by their own bootstraps and their own works, but you're not going to get there that way, and they're not going to get there that way. And if they don't change their attitude, they may not get there at all, because except your righteousness exceed that of the scribe and the Pharisee, you don't have any part in the kingdom of heaven. Can you say amen? Come on, church. Amen. Listen to me. The death angel was looking for one thing, and we're going to celebrate that in the communion next week, because Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. Can you say amen? What was he looking for? When I see what? When I see that you have towed the line, that you've met the perfection that God has called you. No, when I see one element, I will pass over you. What was he looking for? What was he looking for? I know this goes against the grain of the self-righteous. You're not good enough to go to heaven. You got to be washed in the blood of Jesus. You won't ever get good enough to go to heaven. You must be washed in the blood of Jesus. But when you are washed in the blood of Jesus, amen, God will pass over you. Can you say amen? Oh, hallelujah. Otherwise, Passover is not truly Passover. Either he passes over you or he doesn't. 3 million people had a covenant. God said, put the blood on. They put it on. He passed over them. Can you say amen? I got a blood covenant too. Christ is my Passover. I've put the blood on. I'm still not perfect, but he's passed over me. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Death has lost its hold on me, and he's already given me, not going to give me, he's given me eternal life. Hallelujah. First step in preparing to possess the land is to remember God's love and delivering power. Raise up stones of remembrance. Amen. What do you dwell on? Your faults, your failures, or his promises and his faithfulness? What are you dwelling on? What do you rehearse in your mind? Amen. If you listen to the devil, and by the way, his voice is clearly clear. The voice you're going to have trouble hearing is God's, because your flesh had years to be attuned to the enemy's promptings and suggestions. Amen. This is a new, you were dead in trespasses and sins, and this Lord of death could speak to you, but the Lord of life has come on the scene. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And God would love to get through to his children today and to tell them there's not a weak one among you. There's no wimps among you. You're all covenant people. You all have covenant rights and covenant privileges. This is not about how you feel. This is about what I promised. Hallelujah. This is not land achieved by your merit. This is promised land to a prepared people. And I brought you out that I might what? That I might bring you in. Hallelujah. Amen. And he wants to bring us to that place in him that we can take the land, that we can rise up in a bold faith. So you prayed for these things. Now God's saying, okay, I'm going to prepare you to possess them. Amen. Is it all right for you for this preparation? Everybody say step number one. Raise up stones of remembrance. He said, I don't want you to rush into that battle. I want you to stop here and put up a memorial. And I want you to remember the God that brought you out of Egypt and parted the Red Sea. And I want you to remember the God when you see, amen, the circumstances and the armies you're going to face. I want you to see and remember the God. At that moment, that precise moment, I want you to remember the God. Amen. I want you to have something to jog your memory, something to associate with. When you see these stones that are erected, I want it to indelibly imprint your memory with a God who comes through, a God who parts the sea, a God who slays Pharaoh's army to get you out. And the God that brought you out also opened up Jordan to get you in. And if he could slay Pharaoh's army, he can take care of these people. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. I don't want you to ever forget the goodness and the greatness of your God when you face your enemy. Because you're going to have to face him to possess the land. You're going to have to dispossess him in order to possess it. And he's not leaving without a fight. So fight the good fight of faith by raising up stones of remembrance. The place is called Gilgal, which means in its Hebrew root, to roll. Amen? To roll. And Joshua 5:9, you know what it says? And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day, we're still in the same circumstance here, have I rolled away the reproach of Egypt from off of you. Are you hearing me? Wherefore the name of the place is called Gilgal, which means to roll the reproach away. Say it with me, to roll the reproach away. And we got a place like that. Amen. Where the reproach of the world was on us. Amen. Is there a place like that in your life where everything radically changed and all the reproach was rolled away? Where if you had a past, you lost it. If you had a reputation, it was gone. Where you are now a child of the Most High God and he took personal care of you. Amen. And the reproach of being wanderers in a wilderness rolled off of you. Now you are a Christian. Now you're standing where you need to stand. Amen. God said, you've been wandering in the wilderness. And they wonder if I love you. And they wonder if you really belong to me. And they wonder about the great God that brought you out of Egypt. And there's a reproach on you as long as you stay in the wilderness. How many know if we as Christians live a lackadaisical, lackadocious, amen, passionless life that is marked more by defeat than victory, there's a reproach on us. If we're compromised with the world out there, you can't tell us from them until Sunday morning. Can you say, man, there's a reproach on us. Amen. Where is our God? Amen. When we're down and out, is everybody else disturbed? Is everybody else discouraged? Is everybody else? There's a reproach on us because we're wandering in the wilderness. Can you say, man? God said, you know something? Today, that's going to radically change. Today, the reproach is going to be rolled off of you. That's why this place is going to be called Gilgal. Amen. Because this means to roll and God ready to roll. Can you say, man? Come on, somebody give Him praise this morning. Hallelujah. I'm going to roll the reproach off of you. Amen. I remember when I was just trying to survive a nervous breakdown, and there was a reproach every time that I had to face that reality that a man of God and a child of God could get in this terrible condition of not trusting Him enough to take the burden. Some of you need to make some new choices. Some of you need to adjust your thinking and get rid of stinking thinking. Some of you are thinking about things that are dragging you down, and you are told clearly by the Lord, amen, to only think on the things that are of good report. Don't even go there. If it agitates you, don't go there. If it perturbs you, don't go there. Amen. Get your thoughts lifted to a higher level. God wants you to have a memorial in your life. Amen. I don't care if you have to make a rock garden, amen, in your backyard and go out and look at it and say, I want to be reminded today, amen, of the great God that I have and that I'm His child and there's a covenant here in my life. You know what one pastor did? I read that he did. He passed out rocks to his congregation. I was going by Home Depot, but I was too late to go by. I was going to give everybody in this room a stone. At the end of the service, I was going to have you come and place it before this pulpit. Why? Just to let you get a sense of what they were doing. They said, we're going to mark this event because if we forget, we can get into serious trouble. We don't want to ever forget that God brought us out of Egypt and God is bringing us into Canaan and God will give us that city and God will help us defeat those enemies. We'll possess that land because God is faithful. Not because we're great. Not because we're so bad in battle, but because God is faithful. God parted the Red Sea to get them out of Egypt. He parted the River Jordan to get them into the Promised Land. The first step to victory is to remember it is God's supernatural power that delivered us and His faithfulness. He and He alone saved us. He brought us out and He brought us in. We must remember salvation is of the Lord. All of it. Can you say amen? Same God who brought us out will bring us in and give us power to overcome every enemy and every obstacle. Colossians 1, 12 through 14. Paul says, giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. That's a heritage. That's something granted to you. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness. Everybody say, He brought us out. And hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. Everybody say, He brought us in. Supernaturally, He delivered us from sin's power and Satan's dominion. And supernaturally, He delivered us in to the dominion and power of His Son, called the kingdom, the rule and the reign of a king, the kingdom of His dear Son. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. That's a done deal. Everybody say, that's a done deal. Glory to God, glory to God. I want to tell you something. Jericho's wall, your Jericho, is no match for your God. Hallelujah. Forgetting God's saving power and grace is a dangerous sin that always leads to defeat and backsliding. Everybody say defeat and backsliding. You wander from the cross, you're headed for defeat, discouragement, and backsliding. You fail to honor the memorial. That's why I stress. You know what God has done? He's done something else. These memorials, you say a pile of rocks, 12 rocks. Some say they were put in a circle. Some say they were stacked. It doesn't matter. That pile of rocks was more than a pile of rocks. God told them to pile up them rocks, amen, to give them something that would help them to remember, amen. There are some things we need to mark in our life. Salvation is something that needs to be celebrated. Come on, you didn't hear me this morning. I said salvation is something that needs to be celebrated. I said, eternal life and living forever, there should be a celebration that never ends. When we go to heaven, it just goes on and on and on. Amen. If you're not into celebrating here, you're not going to like it much there. Because that's all they do up there, is celebrate. Read the book of Revelation. It's a celebration. An eternal celebration. Some Jewish scholar said the wedding supper is a perpetual thing. It's not a one-time thing, and then we get into the routine of heaven. He said it's going to be something that is perpetuated. The joy of that great moment will be held throughout eternity because time can't erode it and take away from it. It'll never get over because there's no such thing as over. Time will be no more. Hallelujah. I'll finally get to finish the sermon. Glory to God. Forgetting is a dangerous sin. When you forget the God that brought you out, you're going to lose the first love. You're going to get easily discouraged. You're going to find yourself backslidden. Look at Psalm 78, 40 through 54. How oft did they provoke him in the wilderness and grieve him in the desert? Yea, they turned back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. And the reason they did that is in verse 42. They remembered not. That's why these memorials are so important. You know what God is doing here to prepare us? You know what he's doing? Reestablishing memorials that we didn't put the import on that they should have, like communion, Holy Communion. I don't want to miss Holy Communion. I don't want to miss that event. I don't want to miss that time to remember and rehearse the past victories at the cross. It prepares me for my present, amen, things that I face. It keeps the right perspective in my life. Can you say amen? We got it back. These memorials are not light things to be treated lightly. Can you say, man, these are mighty things. That pile of rocks to anybody else was just a pile of rocks. But to Israel, it was a reminder. God parted this water, amen, to get us over here. And so if he goes to that extreme to get us over here, and he moves that supernaturally to get us in this land, he will move supernaturally to give us this land against these obstacles. He will move supernaturally to defend this land against anybody that tries to take us from it. When we walk over here, we're walking over in the supernatural. When we settle here, we're settling defended by the supernatural, protected by the supernatural, provided for by the supernatural. Can you say, man, we have a God, and that makes us different. Hallelujah. We've got a cross too. To the world, it's foolishness. Pile of rocks don't mean nothing. Piece of wood, what's that mean? To us, it's everything. To us who are saved, it is the power of God. Every time we see the cross, we're reminded, amen, that hell has been conquered. Satan has been defeated in it. Can you say, man, our sins have been forgiven? Glory to God. Verse 42 said, they didn't remember his hand or the day when he delivered them from the enemy. God wants you to mark that day when you got saved. God wants you to mark it well and celebrate it every day. When you feel bad, God wants you to mark that day. Listen to this. How he wrought his signs in Egypt, his wonders, they saw all this. But they forgot how he turned their rivers to blood and their floods that they could not drink. He sent divers sorts of flies among them, which devoured them, and frogs, which destroyed them. He gave also their increase unto the caterpillar and the labor to the locust. He destroyed their vines with hail and their sycamore trees with frost. He gave up their cattle to the hail and their flocks to hot thunderbolts. He cast upon them the fierceness of his anger, wrath, and indignation and trouble by sending evil angels among them. He made a way to his anger. He spared not their soul from death, but gave their life over to pestilence and smote all the firstborns in Egypt, the chief of their strength in the tabernacles of Ham, but made his own people go forth like sheep and guided them in the wilderness like a flock. He led them on safely so that they feared not, but the sea overwhelmed their enemies. And he brought them into the border of his sanctuary, even to this mountain which his right hand hath purchased. And they turned back and limited the Holy One of Israel. There's people in this room that need to quit turning back. You need to get centered in the cross. You need to get focused upon Jesus. Because every time you look to yourself, you get it in the neck. And every time you look to others, you get hurt. And it's time you quit letting yourself down and being let down in others, because you quit focusing on you and you quit focusing on them and start focusing on Him. Can you say amen? You need to go back to the cross and celebrate again. You need to do something to mark that in your life so it is indelible. That's what He's saying. People forget too easily and too quickly and begin to limit their God. If you're going to take this land, you're going to have to take the limit off of me. Can you say amen? If you're going to get your healing, you're going to have to take the limit off of God. God doesn't need a favorable report to heal you. It's not based on whether the x-rays said He answered prayer or not. You don't wait for the x-rays to see if He's done it. Whether the x-rays say He's done it or whether they don't say He's done it ought not shake our faith one iota. It's not about what the doctor says to confirm His word. That's what Jesus said to confirm the word. Can you say amen? Listen, sometimes God waits till the enemy's breathing down your neck to part the water. Can you say amen? I don't care if cancer's breathing down your neck. I'm telling you, there's a time when you do not get discouraged because you pray and get a bad report. There's a time that you hold on to another report that's a higher report by a higher authority. And that doesn't mean it's not there, but it means it cannot stay. Can you say amen? Something's got to give. Listen, if these promises aren't for us, then let's just give up on this whole prayer thing. Let's take this bottle of oil, wherever it is, and get rid of this thing. This is a mock. This is not real. It has no basis in reality. But if this is real and God is real, then there's not anything that can touch the life of one of His children that He will not and cannot deliver them from. God wants to restore the healing to His people that we have forfeited because it's part of Canaan's blessing. You get in Canaan, you're going to find out something. There's a balm in Gilead. There's a physician there. Can you say amen? His name is Jehovah Jireh. He will provide for you. His name, hallelujah, is Jehovah Rapha. He is the physician. Can you say amen? We need God back. We've got everything else. We need God again. Hallelujah. We need God again. It's not a wish book. This is a promise book. The only thing that can stop His promise is unbelief. Hell can't and angels won't. Listen to me carefully. Gilead goes where the reproach was rolled away, and the people rolled 12 stones from the bed of the Jordan River to make a circle of stones or to stack a monument to help everyone remember this special time and place. Remember, we got a stone out here. Remember the first message when we came here? It's about an Ebenezer stone. This is not uncommon in Israel to mark an event with a memorial. A crude memorial that only had meaning to the people who had experienced it. That's why the cross, the world don't understand the cross. I see people in their gothic black shoes, black socks, jet black dyed hair. You know it's jet black, I mean dyed, because nobody's hair is that black. Amen? Stuff in their tongue, how you eat, I don't understand these things. I'm way out from this. Stuff through the nose, stuff everywhere you can put stuff. Stuff in places I don't even want to see. Can you say amen? Amen? I'm serious. Black t-shirt, black socks, black shoes, black hair. Just black everything. Amen? You see these people walking up and down the mall. And it's gothic. You know, they're advertising. I mean, this is where it's at. There was a guy that worked that way. He came to work, had to put on all white. Must have been a real bummer. We have to wear white uniforms. We're working at an ice cream plant. Had changed that all black to all white. And I thought, dear God, that must get him. And on top of that, he had to park next to me. Amen. I had a tag on my car at that time. Said something about the Lord. And, you know, he had a tag on his. Says, God deliver me from your children. That was the tag on his car. Amen. There's another car over there from an agnostic. He has to park by me sometimes too. Amen. And his tag is very honest. It says, it's got, you know, stars and pictures of the universe in the background and big bold letters that says, going boldly nowhere. And he thinks that's cute. I think it's terrible. I'm boldly going somewhere. Hallelujah. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. But these are symbols. These are symbols. These are symbols. These are symbols. And we have symbols. And the cross is our symbol. Can you say amen? And it's a positive thing. We talked about Ebenezer Stone. Amen. What Ebenezer means, after a battle, they erected a stone to symbol. See, the world don't understand it. What I started to say about the guy in black, he's got a big cross hanging on him. It don't mean nothing to him. It's just jewelry. It's hip, cool jewelry. Amen. When I see the cross, it's not hip, cool jewelry. I heard a preacher preaching one resurrection Sunday, and I was looking for a good message that Sunday. Boy, it was on the air that Sunday, and he was from some big church somewhere, and I thought it was going to be stuffy, but boy, it wasn't. Amen. He said he'd just come back from Mexico, and he said there was a guy selling little olive crosses to tourists down there outside a mission that they visited on a trip, and he was saying cheap crosses, and he was talking about how we've cheapened the cross, how we've devalued what it really is supposed to mean in Christendom. Can you say amen? He said he was outside a jewelry store where there was a sign over, a big sale sign up and saying, classy crosses on sale. He said out of curiosity, he walked in and said, what do you mean by classy crosses? He said, we've got crosses for all occasions. We've got crosses that are made of diamonds and gold over here that are very, very precious and expensive. And we've got crosses over here that are made out of just sterling silver, amen, that are used as costume jewelry. We've got crosses that are appropriate to wear with particular clothing, amen, and crosses to wear as earrings. And you can find these people that are into Satanism and the Gothic lifestyle and the partying all night in these clubs. You can find them wearing crosses. Amazing, they're wearing crosses. Amen. It doesn't mean anything to them. That's why the Bible said the preaching of the cross. Come on, this symbol of our victory. Amen. Come on, the preaching of the cross is to them that perish what? It's foolishness. It's meaningless. But when we see it, it's changed. Can you say amen? It's something different when I view the wondrous cross where Jesus died for me. Can you say amen? When I see the cross, it's different. When I see the cross here next Sunday, it's different. Hallelujah. Anywhere I see a cross, it's different because that is a memorial. That is my Gilgal. That is where the reproach, hallelujah, has been rolled off of me and rolled on Him. When I see the cross, I want to shout. When I see the cross, I want to cry. When I see the cross, I want to run and dance. When I see the cross, I want to bow, amen, and go prostrate before Him. I go through the whole gamut of emotions when I see the cross. Can you say amen? Listen, we don't need a message that is void of the cross. Tune in sometime on your radio and television and look for the cross. It's the preaching of the cross that is the power of God. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's the only thing that will deliver, the only thing that will set free. And in every true revival, the cross and Christ is preeminent. Wow. So they called that other place and that other battle Ebenezer. They said, God gave a supernatural victory. Here is the memorial to that victory. Every time we see this pile of rocks, nobody else understands it, but when we as God's people see it, we know what it represents. And we take courage. We remember what God did. Has anybody here ever had any supernatural deliverance? Or provision or protection? Anybody, wave at me if it's ever happened. You need to mark it well. Because the very next challenge you face, Satan wants your attention on that challenge, not on that victory. God wants your attention on that victory so you have courage to face that challenge. Can you say amen? And they called the stone Ebenezer. And you know what it means, Ebenezer? It means the Lord our help. Because from that time till now, the Lord has been our help. Can you say amen? That's what gives you courage to take Canaan. These Ebenezers are raised several times in scriptures, these stones of remembrance. Or memorials, as we might call them. They are intended to remind us, to link us with our history and heritage. In Joshua 4, God tells Joshua to erect a 12 stone memorial so the people who've just passed through Jordan, but also generations to come, will remember the story of God's deliverance from slavery in Egypt. Whenever the children ask, what do these stones mean? The story of freedom and grace will be retold.
You ever been to a Jewish cemetery? Anybody? An all-exclusive Jewish cemetery. I think this is unique. Ever notice what decorates the headstones? Instead of flowers, you've probably seen stones carefully placed on top of the grave marker. Sometimes these stones will be lined up across the top, like some kind of train. So people come and place a stone on top. The stones have a specific commemorative meaning, a meaning that binds that individual person to the whole history of the people of Israel. You're not just part of a church. You're part of a church. Can you say amen? How many saw the beautiful painting y'all got me called The Legacy? This is not just for us. This is a legacy to us and a legacy from us. To us from the saints that lived before us, that God led and kept, and the saints that will come after us. When the children said, what does this mean? You tell them, this is the God, hallelujah, that delivered us. And if you need help in your life, that God will deliver you. Can you say amen? These stones of remembrance, these Ebenezers, are testaments to the ongoing relationship between God and every son or daughter of Israel. If you remember the movie Schindler's List, how many saw Schindler's List? Wave at me if you saw that. It's a mighty movie about this Jew, this righteous Gentile or non-Jewish man, Schindler, amen, who saved so many Jews from the Holocaust. Mighty movie. He wasn't righteous till the end, but they gave him the title Righteous Gentile because they had accepted him as God using him to deliver so many Jews from the death camps. He saw it as his personal mission, took it as his personal mission to save as many lives whole as he could. And God must have put that in his heart. Anyway, in the movie Schindler's List, at the end of it, the final scene, the survivors, the actual survivors of Schindler, who survived the death camps because of him, you know what they did to honor him, this man, for his act of deliverance? You know what they did? They all came to where he was buried, and they all brought a stone with them, and they placed that stone, because this is Israel's heritage. Can you say amen? This is to remember. And when the children say, what do those stones mean? We were headed for death, but a man stepped in and became our deliverer, and this stone is to remember him, and for you to remember that you're here because he stepped in. Can you say amen? Oh, it's one of the most moving scenes and endings that I've ever seen, for the real people to step forward and to memorialize this man who delivered so many of God's children. James Diamond, the chair of Jewish studies at the University of Iowa, offers two explanations for the tradition. The stone is basically a remembrance. It goes back to biblical times when people were buried under heaps of rock. The headstone itself symbolized this ancient practice, and then by placing a small stone or pebble on the marker, the visitor demonstrates that the deceased is remembered. This is another more romanticized theory. Awakening in the morning, a shepherd would count his sheep and put a corresponding quantity of pebbles in a pouch. At night, he'd count again to see if the numbers matched. To God as a shepherd, every soul is important and worth being counted and remembered. When we get to heaven, what's he going to give us to prove that he's remembered us? A book of remembrance has been kept. That Lamb's Book of Life that you feel so detached from when you're going through your trials is a real book, and God has your name in it. It says when you get to heaven in Revelation, he'll give you a white stone. Can you say amen? With a new name written. Glory be to God that only God knows. Talking about memorials, and I'm going to close and not finish this message, but during the days of the gold rush, a true story, a young man and his bride set out across the country to make their fortunes. Somewhere along the way, as they moved from east to west, they drank some contaminated water. The young bride became ill and died before they could reach Fort Kearney in Nebraska. But they were well underway, many, many miles behind them. Heartbroken, the young man took her body to the highest hill, buried it, using the wagon bed to make a coffin. He drove down some wooden stakes to mark the grave, thinking he would go on west and later come back and place some kind of memorial. But the more he thought about it, the more he was certain that he couldn't go on. He said to himself, I'll forget where this is. I'll never remember it. I'll never be able to find my way back. So he retraced his steps all the way back to St. Louis, Missouri. He found a stone cutter and had him prepare a tombstone engraved with the name Susan Hale, along with the date of her birth and her death. He tried in vain to get someone to haul it back for him, but the wagons going west were already overloaded, and no one would help him with this large piece of granite rock. Finally, he bought a wheelbarrow, put the stone in it, and walked those weary miles back toward Fort Kearney and set the stone on her grave. It's a tender story. The man knew that there were some things we must never forget. Here was a sacred spot on earth. He must always remember where it was. Is there a sacred spot on this earth for you to remember who you are and what you're worth and what it costs to save you when you get so full of yourself? Is there a sacred place? There's a place called Golgotha. It exists today in Israel. It means the place of the skull. It's also called Calvary. Amen? When you come into church and I come into church with our feelings ruffled, with our family troubles, with our fears, we're wilderness Christians. We got shoes. God loves us. See, we got shoes. God feeds us. He's sending the manna. By the way, if we go on in this message, you're going to find out something. The day they crossed over and ate their first meal in Canaan, the manna stopped. Because you're no more pilgrims wandering in the wilderness. You are now pilgrims on your way to heaven, but you're already in the promised land. The kingdom of God means you're already recognized as a citizen of that place. Can you say amen? In God's heart and mind, you're there. Hallelujah. So the manna stops. That's a weaning process. You don't go pick it up off the ground anymore. You go take it from the land. Sholem akita damaseli. Come on, healing ain't going to fall in your lap. If it was going to fall in your lap, it would have fell in your lap. Amen. It's going to come to them who take it. If the blind man, hallelujah, doesn't cry out to Jesus, he passes him by. Come on, listen to me, church. I'm talking about kingdom stuff now. Come on, you can't sit back and feel sorry for yourself. You can't sit and feed your fears. Can you say amen? Come on, it's time to dry your tears and rise up. Come on, the man is going to stop. Not because God don't love you, but because you are not in the wilderness anymore. You've crossed over a threshold. Hallelujah. You're sons and daughters of the Most High God. You are participators in a holy covenant. Can you say amen? In that covenant is everything that you need. It's there for the taking. Hallelujah. The kingdom of God suffereth violence. Oh, say it out loud. Hallelujah. And the violent take it by force. Amen. Now they tear the roof off a building. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Let a man down. They don't say, well, God does not want him healed or he'd make a way. They said, listen, there's a covenant we have, and if we can get him to that man. There's a woman, and she's too weak to walk, but on her hands and knees, she pushes through a crowd. Hallelujah. Because the man has stopped. We're in the kingdom now. There's a city that says, you can't take me, but God says, I'm getting you ready to go get that city. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. You sit out in the wilderness. Amen. And I fed you with manna, but the manna has stopped. Now I'm preparing you to take the land. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. You are not suffering for my sake, saith God. It's when you're delivered that I'm going to get the glory. It's when you're set free that I'm going to be praised. My name is not praised when the enemy hurts my people. My name is praised when I set them free, saith God. Somebody give him praise today. Oh, hallelujah. I'm not talking about the martyrs. I'm talking about living these destructive, deceptive, discouraged, despondent, despicable Christian lives. You can't live complaining and bring glory to God. God wants to bless you. Is that all right? And God wants to glorify His name. Hallelujah, in the course of that blessing. And God wants to show a gainsaying world that having a God makes a difference in your life. Particularly having the God and this God. There's a sacred place for the Christian. It's a hill where a sinless man, moreover a holy God, took our place. It's called Golgotha, the place of the skull. It's called Calvary. The cross where Jesus died for our sins is our Gilgal. It's our memorial to His sacrifice and our salvation. Dottie Rambo wrote a beautiful song. She said, "I'll forever lift my eyes to Calvary to view the cross where Jesus died for me. How marvelous the grace that caught my falling soul. He looked beyond my fault and saw my need." Alan Redpath tells the story of a young English missionary that he knew from China. Before she set out for China, a friend of hers took her aside and said, "What on earth are you going to bury yourself for in China?" Beautiful young woman, her whole life before. "You won't be able to stand the climate. You won't last 6 months." Now that's all the kind of encouragement every young missionary needs going into the field, isn't it? This committed young woman turned to her friend and said, "Let me tell you something. 5 years ago, I died. When Jesus called me to China, I bowed my head at the cross, and I died to everything except God and China." Redpath said that he knew this young woman well and knew she also died to the possibility of a husband, a home, children, her family comforts, pleasures, and luxury. She took a long look at the cross and recognized what He had done for her. It gave her victory in what she would attempt to do for Him. I would add for us today, never forget the sacrifice that Jesus paid for us at Calvary long ago. Never forget the picture of the crucified Jesus upon a Roman cross for love of you and love of the world. It will summon you to victory. Can you say amen? I said it will summon you to victory. There's some more steps in getting ready, but the first step is to remember the hand of the Lord that brought us up out of the land of Egypt. Would you bow your head this morning? Number one, if you please. Hallelujah. Mishalamakim. Mishalam. Let us just stand to our feet today. It's a spirit of worship here already. The manna has stopped. We're in the kingdom of God. We're not in the wilderness. We're not wilderness saints. The issue isn't, are we in Canaan or the kingdom as a type, but are we possessing the land? God now is preparing us to possess what He has provided for us in the kingdom. It's got to get better. This wandering in the wilderness is a disgrace. We are hurting, and God is questioned. His love, His covenant is brought into question. And He wants to deliver us from the reproach of Egypt, who sits back and says, "He brought them out, but He cannot or will not bring them in. They are people without a place." Can you say amen? Displaced people. We are not waiting for heaven to find our place. He brought us out of Satan's power to bring us into the kingdom of His dear Son. Our place is under the dominion of the Lordship of Jesus Christ and His sovereign will and purpose for our life. Moshallah. There are people who will not cross over Jordan, and there are people who will not take the city, and there are people who will wander in the wilderness until Christ comes. God wants you to be different people. Is it okay with you that He wants to bless you? Is it okay with you that He wants, amen, to change the tone of your life so that He can be glorified? Can you say amen? Moshalamati ananamak. This is the day of decision, saith the Lord. You must go forward or you must go back. For there are only two ways, blessing and curses. Life and death. Choose life that ye may live, and choose blessing that you may live it more abundantly, saith the Lord. Let's worship him for a holy moment. It's time to cross over. The Spirit of God is here. The complaining attitudes. I vent. And we need a good friend to share with. But we need to stop at some point and say, it's time to quit looking at what's wrong and start looking at what's right. Time to quit looking at what we face and look at his face. It's time to rise up and give him the glory that is due his name. Can you say amen? It's time to get out of the wilderness. How about it, church? Are you ready for the adjustments so we can take the land? Just bring that up. Let it resonate. Hallelujah. Let's give him praise in this place today. Take your 12 stones and build a memorial here to what your God has done. Hallelujah. And tell your children when they ask. Hallelujah. 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 Jesus, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Is anybody here challenged today? Is God calling you? Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
When I see my gracious Savior,
hallelujah,
face to face, when all is done, is that his voice I am hearing? Come away, my precious.
Give him praise in this place. Time to get up and shake ourselves from the dust, O captive daughter of Zion. Hallelujah. 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 Come on, church. Hallelujah.
I will raise up. Raise up. And bow down. And lay my.
Glory in the cross. Hallelujah. Give him praise. Let's give him a wave offering. Just love on the Lord just a little while today. Hallelujah. 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 Mishalabakola Masilianadabasa.
Is that his voice I am hearing? Come away, my precious one.
Jesus. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I will rise.
Oh, rise and get ye over Jordan.
Rise.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's milk and honey waiting for the church.
Bow
not
down.
When we get to heaven, but in the kingdom. Hallelujah.
Bow.
Hallelujah. Shilaba kilaba. Hallelujah, hallelujah. It's time to rise from the ashes. Hallelujah. Shake yourself. O captive daughter of Zion. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. It's time you took your healing. Reach out for it. Don't ever keep reaching. Claim it. It belongs to you. I don't want to bury you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want you to come to my funeral. Praise the Lord. And I want to live to be a ripe old age. Glory to God. Unless he calls me. Unless he takes me. Glory to God.
And bow down.
Glory to God.
And lay.
I dare you to worship him this morning. Remember what he's done for you and hold nothing back from your God. I challenge you today to quit holding anything back from your God. Hallelujah. Number five. Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are you ready? Are you ready? Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. This little church isn't going backwards. All that is gone. Hallelujah. Going back, no nervous breakdown. Yeah.
If we run to him, he will run to us.
Yes, he will. Remember, children.
He will lead
Hallelujah.
Us.